Welcome to The Stacks, a podcast about books. I'm your host, Tracy Thomas, and this week we are joined by the creator of Book Girl Magic, Renee Hicks. We talked to Renee about her journey into reading, creating her own online book club, and books she loves, plus a handful that she doesn't. But before we dive into Renee's story, I want to remind you about Patreon. Patreon is a website that allows you to become a real-life patron of the arts. You commit to a monthly contribution, which makes you a member of the Stacks Pack. That's our own bookish crew here at the Stacks. And once you're in, you can get membership to our virtual book club, shout-outs on social media, and a lot more. This week, I want to give a little love to Rebecca Punch, who's our newest member of the Stacks Pack. If you're interested in joining this community of readers who support creativity, diversity, and literacy, plus getting to know that you help make a podcast you love possible, go to patreon.com/thestacks or click the link in the show notes. This show would be impossible without the Stacks Pack, so thank you. If a monthly subscription isn't your thing and you feel like you'd rather do a one-time donation, go to paypal.me/thestackspod and contribute what you can. Do you like nonfiction? Do you wish you read more of it? Well, our sponsors over at My Mentor Book Club have a perfect solution for you. They have a monthly book subscription box of all nonfiction books. Each month, you get 2 new released nonfiction books, and they come right to your door. It's always free shipping, and you can cancel at any time. Plus, if you listen to The Stacks, you get 50% off your first box by going to mymentorbookclub.com/thestacks. I read a lot of books, and my trick for squeezing even more reading into my life is listening to audiobooks. With Audible, you can be reading when you can't actually be reading. I listen to books in the car, on a walk, or even in the shower. Listeners to this podcast get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. So check it out. Supporting our sponsors like My Mentor Book Club and Audible support the show. You can also help support the show by shopping through the links in our show notes before you shop on websites like Amazon. The Stacks earns a small commission on these purchases, and it comes at no cost to you, so everybody wins. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever. And if you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review the show. This week, our most recent review comes from JPRG Lisa, who's from Canada, and they say, "My TBR list was already big, but after listening to a few episodes, it's huge. Great discussions, and I love listening." So if you have a moment, be like JPRG Lisa and go review the show. Okay, let's dive in. This week on The Stacks, our guest is Renee Hicks. She's the founder of Book Girl Magic, which is an online book club that focuses on books by and about Black women and other women of color. Renee is a woman of many talents and with great tastes in books, and I can't wait for you guys to meet her. So let's dive in. All right, y'all, we are back in the Stacks, and I'm so excited about today's guest. It is Renee Hicks, and you might not know the name, but I guarantee you've heard of Book Girl Magic, and she's the founder of Book Girl Magic. Welcome to the show, Renee. Yes,
thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited. This has kind of been in the works for a while. Renee was one of the first people I ever followed on Bookstagram, and we connected super early, and I just love you, and I love what you're doing. Aww. So.
Love you too.
Yay. This is going to be a total love fest.
Yes.
do you want to just tell us like a little bit about yourself aside from Book Girl Magic?
Sure. Because I guess everybody knows me for books and whatnot. But I am a mother of twins, first and foremost. Originally from Canada, living in Atlanta. Currently here in LA for vacation.
Yay.
So took some time out to meet up with Tracy. And that's pretty much, I mean, me in a nutshell is being a mommy, and I do social media for a living, so that's another thing.
Oh, you do?
The agency, I work for the government, so the agency that I work for, we help kids get into college. So whether that's some type of financial aid, student loans, we help them prepare for college. So,
and what's the social media aspect of that?
So I run, we have, in our agency, we have like 3 different departments,
okay.
So different scholarships and stuff like that. So I run the social media for each of those accounts.
How
and
cool.
Some project management, yeah.
And you also have a hobby/side hustle.
Yes. Photography.
Photography.
Yes. So
that's why her pictures are always so good on Bookstagram. Don't feel bad about yourself.
Yes. So if you followed, which is funny because I didn't start the page off that way. And then one day I randomly just took a picture of a book and I was like, that looks way better than my phone. So I just continued to kind of go that way. But yes, Noelle Gray Creative is my photography company. So I do a lot of portraits of people, weddings. I did a wedding in New Orleans a few weeks ago. So yeah, that's kind of my hobby that I've been doing for 8 years now. Yeah.
Her pictures are really good.
Thank you.
okay, that's that. Okay, let's talk about Book Girl Magic.
Yes.
Okay, so you started it a little over a year ago.
Yes.
How did you come up with that?
Yeah, we just hit our one-year anniversary, the beginning of November. So it was, I wanted to challenge myself, which is where it came from. I didn't think it would be what it is today. It's kind of just exploded. But the initial thought was that as a person of color, I have not really read books, that many books by authors of color. So I wanted to challenge myself, and that's kind of where the book club formed, was I wanted to celebrate specifically Black women and then read books by people of color. So that's the thought behind it, and it just kind of unfolded into what it is today. So,
and you do, you pick a book for the month.
Yes.
And is the book always by a Black woman?
No.
No.
Sometimes we do, we've done, well, I will say 99.9% of the books have been by a woman of color. We had one, I think, Colson Whitehead. We did Underground Railroad, which was our only pick that was not. But for the most part, they have been. So I'm not sure in the future if I'm going to kind of steer that way. But yeah.
I like that it's women of color, or Black women specifically, because I like to see the variety that's there. Like, you pick different books. Like, I know you did The Mothers recently, which is like a great piece of fiction, like kind of fun, not fluffy.
Right.
It has some depth to it. But, and then I know that you've done like Phoebe Robinson, which is like so different. Like, so it's like celebrity memoir and then fiction. And
Samantha Irby is our current read for November. So that was kind of a fun one to do too. So.
And can you like, tell us what's next.
Yes, I am so excited for December. So we'll be reading Becoming by Michelle Obama. So I'm super excited for this book. I've been anticipating it for, I don't know, like months now. It's been,
When she released the cover, I was like,
stunning, just absolutely stunning.
It's so perfect. She's so perfect.
Yes.
It's just truly like, what a blessing.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm excited to read
that. Never loved a first lady. I didn't know that you could. And now I'm like, oh, I get how my mom felt about like Jackie O.
Yep.
Right. Like that. It was just like, she was like the most perfect.
There will never be another for sure.
Well, we have Queen Michelle. the book I guess came out yesterday. When you're listening to this, it will be yesterday. and I can't wait to read it. Obviously I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait. I will be participating with Book Girl Magic in December. You all should enjoy me. So actually tell us what that means. Like what does it mean to be part of your book club and how does it work?
So we choose the book of the month and I've kind of changed the format. We used to do videos and chat once a month and do it like that. But I think we just all have such busy schedules and we have so many people that are from so many different parts of the country, the world, that are now joining us. So now we're just kind of doing a thread where I will post questions and then people can answer those questions in the thread and just have a live discussion amongst, you know.
Is the thread on Facebook or
Instagram? It will be on both, actually. Both. So we have a chat discussion that we do in the Facebook group, but it will definitely be on Instagram, which is where most people are.
But anyone can join.
Absolutely.
Can males join? Yes. Male identifying?
Yes. Okay. It celebrates. We are a book club that celebrates women of color, but it's open to anybody. Like, it's inclusive of everyone. I want everyone to experience these books and feel like they can join in.
Okay. And I'll link to Renee's social media, but also the Book Girl Magic stuff too. So you guys can find it in the show notes.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite book that you've done for Book Girl Magic?
That's a tough one. Let me think back to, The Wedding Date. Hands down. I don't even know why that took me. That's probably been my favorite because I like romance novels.
Okay.
So I'm a gushy, like I'm a Pisces. So I'm a dreamer. I love fantasy. I love all of that stuff. So romance novels really speak to me. So that book, On the Money, was like, that was it for me. Yeah. So
I don't think I'm going to read that book.
I know you won't. Okay. I know your taste. And that and The Perfect Find were two reads that we read. And it was like the warm and fuzzy feels like it's not one that you would like.
Are there any books that you're kind of like dancing around maybe doing soon that are like on your radar or things you're thinking of? I don't want to spoil any future picks, but
the ones that come, because I'm trying to think of what is on our 2019 list. Napoli Ever After, I know, is one. I can't even think of the list.
Is that a celebrity book?
It is. No, it's a series. It just came. Oh. The movie just came out in September. Or October, one of those. But it just came out as a Netflix. Sanaa Lathan is.
Oh.
Yeah, and it just talks about her journey with her hair, and I think she breaks up with her fiance, and she just kind of goes through this life change. So it's interesting. So I'm gonna do that in 2019, and trying to think. Jasmine Guillory, who wrote The Wedding Date, has another book that she's coming out with, or came out with, I think, at the end of October. So that might be another gushy romance novel.
Have you guys done Americana?
We have not. That's on my list,
though. I'm voting for that.
Okay.
It's so good.
Yeah, I have it. I've owned it for a while.
It's such a good book. And you know I don't really like fiction, and it's not like heavy fiction either. And I love that book. I read it in like 3 days. It's so enjoyable. It's a little long.
But
it's really good.
Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah. That's my vote.
Okay.
I mean,
good.
You know.
Yeah. That's good.
The one fiction book I've ever read.
We'll get ready to evaluate 2019. So yeah, that's a good
thought. It's a good book. I think you'll really like it. I think most people like it. Like, I think most people are like 4 or 5 stars. Yeah. I don't know. I gave it 4.
Yeah.
But that's like 5 for me for fiction. Okay. Well, let's talk about your reading life. Because I know. Well, I know what I want to know about you. I know the answer to this kind of, but I want people to know this about you because I think it's exciting and interesting for those of you who feel reading guilt. Have you always been a reader?
No. Absolutely not.
Talk about your reading life and how you kind of got back into it or into it in the first place.
So growing up, books have never been my thing. I guess sports. I'm an athlete. I grew up playing softball. I played it in college. So that's what consumed my life. So I really just didn't have time to read books. I got divorced in 2013 and decided to make it a goal to make myself better mind, body, and soul. Ooh. So I challenged myself on Goodreads to read one book a month, 12 books for the year. And that's kind of how it started. And it's funny to see the evolution of the type of books that I read, because back then it was like all spiritual and self-help books and things that would just make me better as a person. And now I'm just completely diving in. So a lot of the stuff that you see me reading is like, for the first time experiencing it. And, you know, growing up in the suburbs, we didn't really learn that much about Black people, people of color, and where we come from. So a lot of this history and stuff is brand new to me. So my reading journey is extremely new, less than 3 years. And it's been amazing, actually.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So 2014 is when you started your book a month. Yeah. I did a book a month in 2015, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a huge reader. And when I moved to L.A., I just stopped reading because I used to read on the subway in New York and I was like starting to feel really stupid and like dumb and like bad down on myself. So I was like, I'm going to read a book a month. And I took me till December 30th to finish my last book. And then the next year I was like, I'm going to read 13 books. And I ended up reading 24.
You sound like me.
Yeah. And now this year I'm a lot more so far.
Yeah. We'll see. That was me. Like, set a goal of 12. I think the first year I actually did 12. I might have bumped it up a little bit, but then did like 15. And then the next year it was like 21. And this year Bookstagram has been the devil. It has influenced me to read so much. Right. I've blown my goal out of the water.
Yes, mine too. I had to bump mine up this year.
I did. And I bumped mine up. But the other thing too is it gives me anxiety to like put that kind of pressure on myself. Right. Like, I don't understand how people read 100 books in a year. Like, what do you do with life?
I don't know. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I bumped mine up from 36 to 52, and I hit 52, and I didn't bump it up again.
That's good. That's really good.
Because I was like, that's it. That's my goal. Like, a book a week? Sure. Done. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I think for people, like, trying to get back into reading, because I know a lot of my listeners are like, oh, I don't read that much, whatever. And I think, like, the key, if you're trying to get into it for the first time or get back into it, is to, like, set a goal that is really achievable. So it might be 6 books for you.
Right.
Like, it really depends on your life. And then to pick books that you really like reading.
Right.
So if you're on a spiritual journey at that moment in your life, read The Secret, read, you know, what is it? The Four Agreements, read all that stuff. You Are a Badass.
Right.
And then
those are all books I read.
Sure. Cause like, those are the ones that if that's what you need, that's what you need. And if you're in a place where you're like, I just want to learn about immigration, then read 6 books about immigration. Like,
right.
I'm a firm believer in just like, read what you want to read. Cause no one else is reading for you.
I agree. And I think that's what this year has been for me. I've kind of learned my taste and my style. Instead of just randomly picking up stuff, it's like, oh, I like romance. Not like I like this type of book. So I'm kind of learning, and historical fiction, like those, and just fiction in general has become a big thing, which normally I would read more memoirs and self-help books. So, yeah, it's really become a learning lesson for me this year, what my taste is.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on as someone who's a newer to reading. I think it's important. Like, it's not ever too late. Or, like, it's not like if you stop reading, you can't get back into it.
Right.
Because some, you know, we all have, like, reading slumps or whatever. Yeah. And I feel like the more that I read also, the more that I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone.
Right.
Too, because I'm like, okay, it'll be, what, 2 weeks I'm stuck on this book? And if, you know, if it's something I don't like, then I'll put it down.
Right.
But to get back into reading, or like to start reading, definitely read things that excite you and you can't put down.
Yeah, that's it. And it's funny because when people look at my journey, they don't know that I just started reading,
right,
or seriously reading a couple years ago. So when they see me reading things, they're like, I read that in high school. And I'm like, oh, okay. You like book shaming me?
Yeah, I don't believe in book shaming. Yeah, I know. Even though I do love to ask people what they're embarrassed about having read or not having read.
Right.
I don't really, like, I just think it's a fun question, but read the newspaper.
That's
like
it.
That's reading too. Don't be weird about books. But you know, that's just my lecture to everyone. Read books.
Right.
Do you read with your kids?
I do.
And do they like reading?
They do.
And have they always?
Not really. It's just become a thing this year. And they're encouraged because they're in first grade now. So their teacher sent home books like on the weekly. They have books that they have to read at least 4 weeks. So we read a lot of books. And so I want to go back because there's a lot of stuff as a kid that I did not read, like Charlotte's Web, like some of the classics. Yeah. Oh, and especially the American The Great American Read.
Oh, yeah.
That some of those books are on there, too. So there's some that I want to go back and read with them.
Charlotte's Web is truly my favorite book.
Yeah.
I float around other books, but that's the one. I just love it so much. Awesome. I don't know if it will hold up. I haven't reread it. I've read sections of it again, but I love it. Yep. And like The Giver, wait till you get there. That's like fourth or fifth grade. The Giver's delicious.
Yeah.
It's like about dystopia. And like,
nice.
I liked it. Even as a kid, I knew that I liked, you know, dark, twisty books.
That's awesome.
I am who I am.
That's right. Own it.
Yeah. Well, I heard someone say something about like kids reading. You just let your kids read whatever. Like if they want to read, let them read whatever it is that they want to read to like get them into reading. Like if you make reading a priority, but then I guess like whatever they pick up, they pick up.
Yeah, if they find their style, you know, if that's what they want. If it's going to encourage them to read,
right,
I'm open to it.
Yeah. And I'm sure seeing you read makes them more excited about reading.
Yep.
Like if you sit on the couch and watch TV, then they probably want to do that.
That's it.
Have you noticed a shift because of like your example?
They get excited too to go to the bookstore and want to buy books. Mm. And hey, mom, can you buy this Pokemon book? And all different kinds of, yeah, but they do get excited about books and buying books and reading books. So we have our set. We come home and everybody sits down and reads their book for at least 20 minutes a night.
Oh, that's very sweet. I need to do that with my no kids.
No.
Just with myself.
You have to set up time. I'm like, days just go by now because I've become a softball mom. And
right.
I'm like, when can I find time to read?
Is 20 minutes like your every day at minimum?
It's actually required by their teachers.
Okay.
So we have to read at least 20 minutes a day. So I at least try to fit that in. But between homework and now softball and basketball, and it's like, where do you find homework? It's just so much stuff to fit in there. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll fit it in.
Yep.
You got always a book club to keep track of.
That's
so
it.
You've got to squeeze it in somehow.
That's it.
Okay, let's dive into our questions. Alrighty. We'll start with, you know, the first one, my fave. What are two books you love and one book you hate?
Okay, so the two books that I love would be The Wedding Date that I mentioned earlier and Eloquent Rage by Brittany Cooper.
I just finished it.
That book.
This week.
Okay,
tell the people about the book.
I don't even know how to describe it, but Brittany literally gives us a voice. Like, I feel like everything that you've ever wanted to say as a Black woman, she is putting it in that book. And it's like, man, I totally feel that way. Like, she just does a great job. And I can just remember, it's been a while since I've read that book, but I can just remember how empowered I felt
totally
walking away from that book. And I'm like, this is amazing. I need to gift this book to everybody. So
It's so good. She is clearly the smartest person in the room.
Professor.
Like, she's so smart and so eloquent.
Yes.
But she does an amazing job of kind of flexing that muscle of like her thought process, but also keeping it very accessible.
That's it.
So it's like there's moments where you're like, I see you, Dr. Cooper, with mm-hmm. that big word. And there's moments where you're like, yes, girl.
Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. Like she talks about Beyonce.
Yes.
She talks about Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And she also talks about, you know, the Clinton crime bill. And she kind of like moves you as the reader between these two worlds. It's almost like she's performing the dance that Black women have to perform.
Yes.
Right. Between like being smart and being, you know, better than and mm-hmm. twice as good as, and then also being like, but I'm still the homie.
Yes.
And I was really impressed. I listened to it on audiobook.
Yes, me too. Yep.
Okay. And it was, I want to read it, I think also.
Yes.
Physically. Cause I think, you know, there's always parts I miss when I listen, yep. unfortunately, but,
so good. Yeah. When she was talking about Michelle Obama and her hair and
her
how
ponytail.
She wore it. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, that was everything.
She really does like drive home the experience of Black women. Like even myself as a Black woman, I learned so much about the things that I do in my everyday life that I never think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful. I think like if you're a feminist or if you're a person who's interested in like race mm-hmm. and how other people function in the world,
yep.
this is a great book.
I agree.
And men, you should read it too.
Yes.
And white people, you should read it too.
Yes.
And non-gender binary people, read it too.
Read it. Yes.
She's giving you knowledge for sure.
Yes.
Okay. What's a book that you hate?
You Can't Touch My Hair by Phoebe Robinson.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Oh, hated it.
Oh.
It just... It's one of those books where I feel like Black women... or Black people aren't the intended audience. It's kind of like you're already telling us stuff that we already know kind of thing. It also reminds me of that book, I'm Judging You, by Lovey.
Okay.
Both of those books, the audience was completely wrong. And when I looked at the Goodreads ratings, because I'm like, this got a pretty good rating. But when it was by Black women, it was low. But if it was by white women, it was extremely high. Because they're getting something out of it and seeing the book from a different perspective. So I get that. But it's like, I already know. You know what I mean? It's like Black people 101 kind of thing.
Right.
Like, we already know this kind of stuff. So
I see.
That book kind of bored me to death. And then she had some chapters in the end where she was writing notes to her niece or something like that. And it was just... It just seemed out of place. It just, The book club, we read that as a book club read and everybody hated it.
Interesting.
So.
She has a new book that just came
out.
And
they sent it to me. I got a free copy of it. So okay. I'm like nervous. Do I pick this up? You know.
Well, just start it. If you hate it, put it down.
I'm definitely going to give it a shot. I'm hoping it's better than the last one because I wasn't really feeling this.
Okay.
But yeah.
I hope so too. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading the Crazy Rich Asians trilogy. Yeah. So went on vacation and started the first book. So that is, you know, my gushy romance novel.
Have you seen the movie?
I have
yet?
Not. I've refused to see it because I wanted to read. I've been saving that book for vacation. And so I refuse to watch the movie until because I hate spoilers. I can't.
Okay.
It'll ruin it for me if I watch it first. So.
I like the movie. That's my only spoiler. I have not read the book. So it was one of the ones where I was like, I'm just going to see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't have time to read this right now, and I want to see the movie.
Yeah, and it's a thick one. Yeah.
I saw that it's big. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Do you read multiple books at once, or you're a one-book pony?
No, I do.
You
if you want to count audiobooks, I know the debate, but if you want to count audiobooks as reading, I definitely do at least one audiobook, because my commute is a bit lengthy, and then I also either have an ebook or some type of physical book that I'm reading at the same time.
Okay, so one reading with your eyes and one reading with your ears.
That's it.
Got it. What are some books that you're looking forward to?
So, Toni Morrison. I haven't, other than The Bluest Eye.
Which we're doing next week.
Yes. So, that was my first Toni Morrison read, and
mine
too. I absolutely fell in love with her writing style. Like, I just... Her, Tayari Jones, like they have this descriptive, like they just paint a picture for you. And I really love that about Toni Morrison. So I'm excited to read more of her books. Octavia Butler, someone else I haven't read. So see, there's so many.
I read my first Octavia Butler this year also.
Which one did you read?
I read Kindred.
And I
want to read Parable of the Sower really
bad.
Whenever you have time.
Yeah. So those and Men We Reaped, because everybody.
Well, you know, that's like
Shout out to Jasmine.
Best, yes. One of the best books I read.
I think you gave you recommended that one to me too.
We did on the podcast on episode 4 with Sarah. It's really good.
I'm excited. I think that's going to be a book that I read either if I can fit it in this month or December. Okay. It'll be done.
Did you read, you did Sing Unburied Sing. What did you think of it? Didn't like it.
I was shaking my head.
I didn't like it either.
I didn't. It was kind of confusing and I just, the way it ended, I didn't understand.
Yeah. It was too fictiony for me. This book is not that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really, I know a few people were like, when I recommended it, we're like, I didn't like, and it's like so different.
Yeah.
It's okay, really
good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm excited.
I've heard
you.
Great things because I'm like, I mean, I love her writing style as well, but yeah, that book just didn't do it for me.
Men We Reaped has her beautiful writing, but it's more straightforward and like, well, kind of. It's more clear and it's a little, there's not as much figurative like language and like, you know, metaphor. It's right. Very, it's nonfiction, but it still has her beautiful
good.
Storytelling.
I love to hear
it's
that.
Really good.
Because I love her.
Yeah. I mean, she's really, she's, you know.
Yeah. She's Jasmine.
Yeah. She's great. How do you pick what you're going to read next?
Basically recommendations. The Brigade. Shout out to them.
Yes. These are our friends. We have a little group of friends on Bookstagram that we cultivated and we read books together and do video chats, and they're our pals. So shout out to our pals.
So a lot of my book recommendations come from the people in that group, to be honest. Anna is a huge one who's constantly reading everything in the world. So she, a lot of the stuff that she reads is, she has a similar reading style to myself. A lot of books, there's been a few that you've recommended as well. So a lot of recommended books I will, because a lot of you guys have similar tastes to myself. So I know if y'all liked it, then it's probably something I would enjoy too. So
do you have friends in your life or family members in your life that read a lot or that recommend to you, or most of your reading connections through the internet?
Most of them, 99.9% of them are from the internet. Okay. My grandma actually is an avid reader. Like, we went to visit her this summer in Canada, and she has a massive collection. Like, I'm just like, where do you keep all these books? So she's been actually sending me boxes and boxes of books because she's discovered my reading taste. Mm. So she's been sending me a lot of books, classics, like, you know, Toni Morrison. So I have these books now. But yeah, there's not, outside of that, there's not people on the day-to-day that I deal with that read a lot. So, a couple coworkers, but not similar reading. Right.
So you have to rely on your internet friends.
Yes, Bookstagram.
Your creepy internet friends. <That's> what's a book that you like to recommend to people?
The Wedding Date. You'll probably hear me say
you're
this
talk
book
about
100
this
times.
Book a lot.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like by the end of this, I'm gonna have to
read
it just to see if it's any good.
And
so
you're
I can
gonna
get
hate
back
it.
To you and be like, Renee, this
I know.
Trash.
You're gonna be like, I hated it. I know it. I can feel it already.
I'm not reading it. Don't worry.
So, The Wedding Date is one of them. Children of Blood and Bone.
Oh, own it. I haven't read it yet.
Yes, it's a good one. Young adult has become a thing of mine.
You
it's
like
weird.
It?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm discovering that I love young adult. So Children of Blood and Bone. And then Whiskey and Ribbons by Lisa Cross Smith is another one. Again, another gushy romance. If you liked An American Marriage, you'll more than likely like this book.
Oh.
I feel like, because it's kind of the same trio. It's this love triangle kind of similar.
But is it more romance-y?
In a sense. There is drama, but there is a romance that kind of buds from that drama, but you don't walk away hating any of the characters like you do in American Marriage. Like, I walked away loving all of them. So it's
because everybody else walked away from American Marriage
hating it. Yeah.
Honestly, you can like whoever you like, but you can't like Andre the end.
That's my team. So, hey.
Your team, Andre? Andre?
Oh, yeah. I have a shirt on the back that says Team Andre.
We're going to have to do a whole podcast episode on this because truly, I can't believe this is happening to me.
Let me say this in 2 seconds. Basically, the reason why I choose him is because I feel like he's the least at fault of the three. That's why. I feel like the other two are more to blame for, you know, their marriage.
Sure, they're more to blame for their relationship, but like, Andre, stay the fuck out of their relationship, my guy. Yeah. Like, you've had all this time.
I use this analogy. He's like Steve Urkel. If Laura walked in and said, Steve Urkel, I want to be with you, he'd be like, heck yeah.
Yeah, but Laura knew Steve Urkel was all up on her shit the whole time. This dude is like, oh, surprise, I love you forever and ever, amen.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil this book, but like, truly, we'll have to agree to disagree on this because Andre is...
It's the great debate, this book,
not the business for me.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the last good book someone recommended to you?
It was actually one you recommended to me, and we read with The Brigade, so The Warmth of Other Suns.
Y'all, I cannot recommend this book enough. You recommend it for me.
Yes.
Go ahead, tell them why.
Isabel Wilkerson. It is just talks about the migration of Black people in the South migrating to either the West or the North. I just had no idea that they were doing this, you know, trying to get out of the South and find a new life and do something, you know, for themselves. So it's kind of funny after reading that book that migration has been kind of a theme in some of the other books that I've read. Yeah, my books always do that. Like, I'll read about something and then it'll appear in other books that I read too. So it's definitely been an interesting one that was eye-opening to see, because I just had no idea about the history of people migrating and trying to make a better life for themselves.
Such a great book. Mm-hmm. And it's so well written.
Yes.
And it's
long,
a big
though.
One. When you get it, it's a little intimidating.
Yes.
But it took me a while, but once I got into it, I was like,
I wish we
going.
Would have broken that down a little more
a
in
little
the brigade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we should have done that one over 2 months.
Yeah.
Because I was just like freaking out. And I did the audio for that one. So it was nice to hear the voices to that. So that helped. But I literally was listening to it every hour of every day to try to get through this massive.
It's long.
Yeah. It's really long.
But
it's worth
book.
It.
It's totally,
totally worth,
your worth time.
It. Yes.
It is. So take your time, but it's worth it. Is there any book that you've received as a gift that stands out in your mind?
Britt Bennett, The Mothers. Oh. I received that as a gift from my cousin, and we recently read it as our October book club book. So that one was a cute little story. Like, I just wasn't expecting it to end the way that it ended. Like, I just, yeah, towards like chapter 11, because it's fresh on my mind right now. I just remember there being a twist, and I'm just like, I did not see that coming. So it was a good one. I enjoyed it.
It's a good book. I like it too.
Yeah.
Are there things that you wish were different about your reading life?
I wish I could read faster. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I'm an extremely slow reader. And I wish I just had more time to read. Like I said, my schedule is super busy, which is why audiobooks are clutch. But I wish I just, and I'm tired a lot too. So I'm like, you know, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So bedtime's like 10. Trying to squeeze in reading, it just is hard.
It's
so
hard.
I wish I had more time, and I wish I could read faster.
Yeah. You and everyone else.
I wish
I could just look at a book and learn everything that's in it. How do you organize your books?
Genre. Usually by genre. And then I've started a new thing where I organize them by the books that I've read this year. So after I have like one shelf that's like everything that I've read this year.
Oh, nice. So it gets bigger and bigger.
And then there's like another shelf underneath it of things that I hope to get to this year. So I kind of organize them or prioritize them in that way.
You can see it. Yep. That's smart. Are there genres? Well, we know that you love romance and fiction. Are there any books or any genres that you avoid?
I want to say, have you ever seen like those hood novels? Like,
yes.
With the cheesy covers, like I'm sleeping with my grandfather. You know, like those things. Yeah, there's people making money off of these books. And I'm like, why? So I have a thing that maybe not necessarily a genre, but if it has a cheesy cover, I will not touch it. Like if it's Fabio, I will not touch anything that does not look appealing to me. I'm weird. And I know I'm probably missing out on a ton of books from doing that, but yeah, if it's not pretty and it's not going to look pretty on my shelf, I'm just not going to touch it.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I have no problem with judging books by their cover.
Yeah.
You have all this money to make a cover and make it good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And that's, like I read Passing by Nella Larson, and the book is actually really pretty. I had the hard copy, but I wanted it, the ebook as well, so that I could just read it more conveniently. And the cover is just god awful on the ebook.
Oh,
and it's 99 cents, and it took me days to decide that I was actually gonna hit download,
because even the ebook cover,
because I had to read it anyway, but I was like, right. This is not gonna look pretty when my look at my ebooks on my Kindle. It's not gonna look pretty on this. So I'm weird like that.
I don't have a Kindle, so I don't know what any of this means.
They just came out with a new one, and it's waterproof. I'm like, do you know how much time I spend at the pool in the summers?
So you're gonna get it.
And I just bought one in May. So
you're going to have like a collection of books and of ebooks.
My mom will get some nice gifts for Christmas.
Perfect. Well, congratulations, mom.
You get a brand new 6-month-old, Kindle.
That's perfect. Yeah. So you read. So you do audiobook, you do ebook, and you do hard copy.
And sometimes I have all three of the same book. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
I
know I'm weird. But I sometimes will read the hard copy as I'm listening to it. Because it just, So I'll do, both at the same time. Look at the words and listen to it.
I've heard of people doing this, but I've never met anyone who actually does it. So there we go.
Yep.
You're the first.
Yeah.
I like to listen to audiobooks, And we're sponsored by Audible, which is an audiobook website. And they're great. Yes. And if you listen to this podcast and you go to audibletrial.com/thestacks, you get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download. So you're winning.
That's awesome.
Do you have a favorite audiobook that you can think of, or like something that was narrated really well?
An American Marriage. I think I really enjoyed that one. I'm trying to think. There's one that I read recently and off the top of my head. Oh, you know, Barracoon was a good one. Because of the dialect in that book, it was I read that one. Well, I read the hardcover and listened to it at the same time. We did that as our first brigade read, actually. But that one was really cool to listen to because of how he spoke. Just hearing their accents, it was really cool. That was probably one of my favorite audiobooks to listen to. Was Barracoon.
I didn't listen to it. I read it hard copy, but I've heard also. Brief History of Seven Killings by Marlon James. There's like a ton of dialects in that book, and I've heard the audiobook is really good of it. I think you have a book with dialects, it helps, because sometimes it's hard to read written dialect.
Yes.
Like you kind of have to read it out loud to yourself.
Yes.
How do you like to physically be when you're reading? Like, do you like to be indoors, outdoors, warm weather, cold weather, beach, couch?
I'm all over the place. So
anywhere you can get it
in. I know. It's like it depends. Ideally, the perfect place would be the beach.
Okay.
I'm a Pisces. Water, it just appeals to me.
Okay.
Somewhere snuggled up with a blanket, though, is typically how you'll find me, whether it's my recliner chair, if it's my bed, I will be somewhere with a blanket. A blanket is like clutch. I have to have that with me when reading.
Yes, I relate to that. Yeah. What's the last book that made you laugh?
Jennifer Lewis, the mother of Black Hollywood. Mm. She is hilarious.
She's so funny. Do you watch Blackish?
I do.
So good.
It's my show. I love that show. That yes. Show.
I saw Diane in Target, and
really?
That was like a celebrity that I was really excited about.
Oh my gosh.
I love her.
She's so cute.
She's like an adult now.
I know.
She's like all grown up. It makes me sad, but also like good for her.
Yes.
What's the last book that made you cry?
The Wedding Date.
Keep it coming.
Listen, I know.
This episode is sponsored by The Wedding Date.
Right. It's like, hi, shout out to Jasmine.
Yeah. I'm going to end up reading it and be so mad at you when I do.
Yeah.
What's the last book that made you angry?
It would have to be The Warmth of Other Suns. Ooh. Was one that made me angry. And The Bluest Eye, I think, was one that made me angry. I don't want to give anything away.
We'll talk about The Bluest Eye next week, so don't worry.
I'll just say
that for
that.
We'll talk about how angry it made you next week.
You'll have to tune in.
Yeah, this is our little teaser. Hear why Renee's angry.
Yes.
What's the last book where you felt like you learned a lot?
So, again, The Warmth of Other Suns.
Yes.
Just the history in it taught me a lot. Just had no idea about migration. That was just something that was unreal, like what they went through and trying to make a better life and still having it hard once they did migrate too. So
like what even better is like so negligible compared to, you know, the stories we hear of like the American dream.
And it also makes me think about my history. Where did I come from? Where did my people migrate from?
Right.
I mean, I'm originally Canadian. I know a lot of people don't know that about me, but I'm like, where my dad comes from, Trinidad, but like, where else does my family come from? So I always think about doing those tests.
I did 23andMe, and I also tried to do Ancestry, but my family's from the South, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot documenting, so I got stuck pretty quick.
Yeah.
Are there any books that you feel embarrassed about never having read?
Yes, there's many. So Roots, Native Son, Kindred,
all of
The Color Purple, and Anything by Toni Morrison. So basically your
classics. Classic books. You'll get there.
Yep.
I'm working on it. I've read some of them and I haven't read all of them.
Yeah.
But
there's just so many, and then new stuff keeps coming. I mean, I have a lot of these books on my shelf already.
I try to prioritize like at least reading one backlist title a month at the very least, but I usually end up reading more.
Yeah.
Because like part of it is like I know that book's going to be good. Like it's just how good is it going to be compared to other books I know are going to be good versus like this new book that I don't have any frame of reference for. I'm like, well, this could be garbage. Like, let me wait and see if someone else tells me if it's any good.
Right.
Are there any books that you're proud to have read?
So the autobiography of Malcolm X. I don't know if anybody's ever looked at that book with the hard copy of it, but it's like almost 500 pages, and the type is like super small. The font, it's just, it's the biggest book, and I read it in February. So that's just one book that I conquered, and I was like, yeah, feel good about
such
it.
Such a good book.
I'm like, who makes a book, the print that small? Like, it was a good story, though. Once you get past, and people kept telling me, hang in there, because the first 100 pages were really hard to get through. And then once you hit 100, it just takes off, and the rest of it's pretty easy. Good. But yeah, that was one that I was proud to have read. Now, this is a strange one, but I've started the journey with Harry Potter. Okay. I know, it's really out
I've
there.
I've never read Harry Potter.
And it's the 20th anniversary this year, and so it was just one of those things that a lot of people on Bookstagram talk about it, and I just don't understand, like, these different teams, what house you're in. So it's just one of those books that I was like, let me step outside of my box and try to read it and see what happens.
Are you liking them?
I love them.
Okay.
I love them way more than I ever thought that I would.
Okay.
I will admit that I'm doing those in audio form. So I can't remember his name. I think it's Jim something. But he really brings those books to life. And I mean, there's 100 characters in each book, and every single one has a different voice that he's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's insane. So it really brings the book to life. So I hope to finish that this year at some point. And then
all of them.
Yep.
How far in are you?
I've read 4. So okay. I've got 3 more left, and then I haven't seen any of the movies. So
I've never seen a Harry Potter thing at all. I mean, I've seen like those ties or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. But I think I will get to them. My niece is like 8 right now, so I'm going to wait a little bit, and hopefully we can read them together.
Yeah.
Because it'll give me a reason to keep reading it if I don't like it, or if I don't like love it. But I do want to read them.
Yeah.
But I got this far. I'm like, well, I'll just wait for Charlie.
Yep.
What's a classic by a person of color that you love?
The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin. That was my first Baldwin book, I think. And that was a good one. I love that one.
And what about a diverse classic, shall we say, that you are looking forward to reading? I know you listed a bunch just now.
Yes.
Any others?
There's so many that I have not read. But I think, I don't know if it's Black Boy, Richard Wright, but it's either A Native Son, I think, is on the top of my list, because I saw Jason Reynolds speak live about The Great American Read. They were talking about his book, and he was talking about some of the books that have influenced him. And after hearing him speak this past September, that is one book that I think that's the book that he said that got him started reading. It hooked him. So
Native Son is good.
Yeah.
I did read that. I think I read that in middle school, but that seems young.
It's a thick one too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's about like, I think that I read it in middle school, but you know, sometimes your brain makes up memories.
Yeah.
I know that I read it. It's good from what I remember as an allegedly 12-year-old.
Yes. I find with Bookstagram, there's a lot of people that are reading books at ages that they probably shouldn't have. Like Coldest Winter Ever is one that I'm like, how are you? It's a Black classic. Like it's kind of a little bit on the hood side. But a lot of people have read that, and they're like, I read that when I was in middle school. I said, how? Your parents must not know what you were reading, because that book was off the chain for me at, you know, in my 30s. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I think Native Son was assigned to me in school.
Yeah.
In middle school. I want to say in 7th or 8th grade, but I don't.
Kudos, though. If that was your teacher assigning that, that's.
I'm from the Bay Area, you know.
Hey.
They really try to be progressive as fuck over there. They're like, here, read this. Read this, like, Kama Sutra book. You're going to learn so much about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Not really.
Just kidding.
Shout out to my English and Black history teachers from the Bay.
That's amazing.
Do you have any favorite books from when you were a kid?
The only one I can think of, I know I was probably assigned a lot of books. I was probably one of the worst students at doing it because sports were life at that time. But Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry is one that comes to mind that I can remember and really love.
I never read that, but my brother was just talking about it recently.
And I want to reread it because I don't remember it. So I want to reread the book, but I just remember it having an impact on me in some way, but I want to go back because it's been forever. But I know that was a book that was required reading for us.
And that's the only book that you remember reading from school.
Yeah, pretty much. Because everything else, I think I did Cliff Notes. So. There you go. I was the model student.
Gotta get it in. Gotta get it all in.
Yes.
If you were a teacher now, what's something you might assign in school?
Okay, so I know you didn't like this book.
Okay.
But The Hate U Give.
Oh.
And look. Oh, see, I knew that's why I had to put that there.
Let's talk about it. Okay. I think that the book is great for certain audiences.
That's it. Yeah.
Correct. That book was not for me because mm-hmm. I feel that I've spent a lot of time like learning and reading about Black Lives Matter and
right.
the right.
You've like, read some deeper. Yeah.
Yes. But like if you're a kid and you're reading that
spot
book,
on.
Like sure, 100%. Yep. Or like if you're a white mom and you have not cared about Black lives, then yes.
Yes.
Totally.
That's
so
it.
So I don't, the book is a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me.
Right.
I was like. Mm.
And that totally makes sense based yeah. on the stuff that I've seen you read. So
I don't want to denigrate Angie Thomas or her book or anything because it's a, like, and it was enjoyable and I read it in a few days and like, it's fine.
Right.
It's
and
like
I think.
It's a solid book.
And that's one of the first books on it because that was our January book club reading. Again, this is all new to me. So as far, I think this year I've read a lot of books on Black Lives, like those types of issues that we deal with. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the first books that focused on that. So for me at the time reading it, I was just like, wow. But you're right, like the deeper that I get into those issues and read, you know, books that really dive into that, it's like, okay, for the audience, yes, that's
yes,
a great book.
Totally.
So I think for high school, I think that's spot on and it draws that conversation, you know.
I also wonder, like, I don't have kids and I haven't been a teenager in a long time. I actually wonder where that book, I feel like some of the book might be more juvenile than like the age of like Star and her friends, like they're in high school, but I mm-hmm. wonder if that book isn't more of like a middle grade read because I feel like kids are smarter and more, they're smarter than what we think. Like
right.
If I was reading Native Son at 12, I definitely could have read
right.
this at 12
for sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I also think it's really for the moms, honestly, in the truth of it. It's like for the librarians and the moms to be like, oh, I should be recommending this to Black kids that
yeah.
I know, you know, or like, oh, my kids should learn about, because I think kids get it more.
Yep.
And I think when I think of myself as like a 15-year-old Black girl, I think I would have gotten it
mm-hmm.
more than the book by then.
Right.
But I don't know. Who
right.
knows?
Yeah.
It's a, if it speaks to you, that is awesome
because
yeah. I think there's a lot of value in it. And then I think it's also problematic in places and like, you know,
right.
what isn't.
Even just to be a conversation starter. Like
totally.
That I think is where I think it's good, great for high school students just to have that
yes.
conversation. And because I don't necessarily know if parents are having those kinds of conversations with their kids. It's necessary, but I don't know that it's
right.
happening.
Right. Exactly. That's what books are good for. It's like letting people open up conversations that they've never had before, even if it's like with themselves or with their thoughts. I think that's really powerful
right.
in reading. Are there any books where you saw yourself reflected back?
So, and I was surprised by this, Gabrielle Union's We're Gonna Need More Wine.
Mm.
I related to that memoir more than any memoir I've related to. Yeah, she even talks about like chemically treating your hair, just different things. And I was just, first of all, there's a lot of that. I just think of Gabrielle Union as being an angel, like
mm-hmm.
in real life. That's how I saw her as a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually read these books and see like she had her own issues with her skin complexion and just real, she dealt with some real things. And I just saw a lot of myself in her. So I was surprised at that because I really, as a celebrity, I look at her and I'm like, oh, you're perfect. You have, you know,
right.
this perfect life. But really, she had a lot going on. I mean, yeah, it's a lot. I don't want to spoil it for anybody,
okay.
but yeah, it was a good one.
I like to hear that. Were there any books that you feel like influenced you in your professional career?
So I would say The Secret, learning that, speaking things into existence, I think that helped me to be where I am today. It's funny, just things unfold and you just never know how you're going to get where you need to be. But who would have known that this book club, like using my talents as a photographer and social media, like I do social media for a living, I mentioned that earlier, I'd put those together and come out with this book club that influences people, like where, you know, but just kind of putting those things out there and then them happening, seeing them happening. And then the more that you see these things happen in your life, you want to continue to speak it into existence. So I've kind of learned to make things happen per
mm-hmm.
se, by reading this book. Like you think it's going to happen.
I still have to read The Secret.
It's amazing.
I know.
And I think I'm going to read it again before the end of the year because it's one of those books, just a refresher.
To come back
yeah.
to. Are there any books that you love that further film or TV adaptation, like where the book was maybe better than, or the movie was better than the book, or just any adaptations you really like?
So you can probably attest to this. The Black Klansman.
Oh.
The movie was way better.
Way
and
better.
Partly because there's things that happen in the movie that never even happened
mm-hmm.
in the book. But that movie was 100 times better. And the book was okay. It wasn't awful. It was okay.
I did not like the book.
Yeah. It was okay for me, but the movie blew it out of the water.
The movie was so much better, for sure. Yeah, that's one that people are like, oh, I'm going to read the book. I'm like, just go see the movie. You're fine. Like, you don't need to know the true story of this guy. It's not that good.
The book is very repetitive. So you're just, he said the same thing over and over again.
He was a Black Klansman, the end.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
We got it, right?
Movie over.
Shocker.
Book over. What about a book that you read that you would like to see turned into a movie or a TV show?
My favorite book again, The Wedding Date.
Wedding Date.
Yes. I would love to see that. I want to say, and then Children of Blood and Bone. I feel like, I think that might be in the works.
Something. Yeah.
But that would be a great one to see come to life. I like to see, especially young adult books, come to life for kids so that they can see, wow, this could be me, or see themselves portrayed on the big screen. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Children, Blood and Bone. I have to read it before whatever it is comes out, but I have it in my house, so that's the first step.
And the sequel comes out, I think, March.
Oh my God, there's already a sequel? Yeah. I'm not ready.
She's been writing it. I think it comes out the big spring of 2019. Yeah.
Okay, here's your last question.
Dun, dun, dun.
My favorite one. Save the best for last. If you could require the current president of these United States to read a book, what book would that be?
I know. I had to think about this. I'm like, are there books about morals and how to treat human beings? Because
yes,
self-explanatory. He's just,
any book that falls in that category.
There's probably so many. And off the top of my head right now, let's come back to that. Maybe if it pops in my head.
Maybe we'll come back to it next week.
Next week, yeah.
Maybe he should just read The Bluest Eye.
That would be a good
that
one.
That is about morals and how to treat people in a roundabout way. Or it's more how not to treat people.
Right. And we can talk about more of that next week. But yeah, how you've been treated, and effectively how you treat people because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, more on how to treat people with The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. Renee, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just so excited to be here. So thank you so
much. Yay, we're so excited you're here. We'll be back next week to talk about The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. And we'll see you guys in the stacks. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you to our guest, Renee Hicks of Book Girl Magic. Next week, Renee will be back and we'll be discussing Nobel Prize winner Toni Morrison's debut novel, The Bluest Eye. Remember, you can support the show by being a member of the Stacks Pack, and you'll be able to join us for our virtual book club discussion of The Bluest Eye. You just go to patreon.com/thestacks. Thank you to our sponsor, My Mentor Book Club. Go to mymentorbookclub.com/thestacks for 50% off your first subscription box of nonfiction. Thank you also to Audible. Get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thestacks. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. Our graphic designer is Robin McCrite. Our theme music is from Tagirigis. This show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas. I'll see you all in the stacks.